thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Yes, we've been thinking about Psalm 23 for quite some time. I think it's so appropriate for where we're at right now in our lives and what's happening in the world and all the rest of it, that we would take time, in fact 5 weeks, to look at Psalm 23, to pause and to ponder and to think upon the amazing deep truths that there are in Psalm 23. So that is what we're going to do for the next 5 weeks or so. And just to say, on Thursday evening, we will meet together here at 7:30 for a time of fellowship, for a time of prayer. And if you're able to join us, that would be great. So this Thursday, 7:30 for fellowship and prayer as we begin to just resume certain things that have not been happening over the last wee while. But let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you for your word, your living word. We pray that you would speak to us. Lord Jesus, you say that your sheep hear your voice. They recognize your voice. And so we ask you that we would recognize, that we would hear your voice, that we would receive what you have to say to us this day and in the weeks to come, that our hearts would be fed and filled, that we would be drawn towards you, that we would rest in you, trust in you, have confidence that truly you are our shepherd in these times. So we commit our time to you and depend on you, Holy Spirit, for your work to make this word come alive to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Rhonda read Psalm 23. I want to read it again. Psalm 23 from the ESV version says this. And it is a psalm. It's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That is God's word to our hearts this morning. Over the next 5 weeks, just to lay it out for you to see where we're going, I've entitled this whole series, Psalm 23, The Connected Life. The Connected Life. The Connected Life is a contented life this morning, verse 1. The connected life is a consistent life, verses 2 and 3 next week. The connected life is a comforted life, verse 4. The connected life is a confident life, verse 5. And the connected life is a continuous life, verse 6. So that's where we're going over the next 5 weeks, and that God would surely speak deeply into all of our hearts as we approach his word. The very first thing that I want us to notice this morning is how Psalm 23 shows how David's life is connected with the Lord. I don't know if you've noticed this before, but I just noticed this recently. In every single verse of Psalm 23, there are at least two references to God and at least two personal references, as in me, my, and I. Let me just run through that quickly with you. If you still got your Bible open, you'll see this. In verse 1, the Lord, he's a shepherd. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 2 and verse 3, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness, mercy, oh, the goodness and mercy of God shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that. I love the interconnectedness of that. And those, it's just packed with the connection of David and the Lord and the Lord and David. So David talks of the Lord in relation to himself, and he talks of himself in relation to the Lord. So there's a close connection, an intimate link. And I want you to see this. I want you to see this weaving together of the life of God and the life of David. David just doesn't talk about himself, and he doesn't just only talk about the Lord. And it's like this. This is how I see it. Like Psalm 23, it's like a tapestry that's woven together. It's a picture of what a connected life looks like. Psalm 23 is just that. It is a tapestry. It is a woven life, an intermingling, a connection of a heart with God and God with a heart. And surely that's what it should be. Our lives, your life, my life, us together should be just like that. A woven tapestry. And it's not done yet. You ever doing a job and someone comes along and says, oh, well, that's not very good. Or it's like, I'm not finished yet. I'm not done yet. It's not completed yet. So go away and come back when it's finished and it's ready. Then you can say what you want to say. But it's not done yet. Remember one of our lecturers way back yonder in Bible College kept going on about to his teenage daughter about keeping her room tidy and doing this and doing that, and he was losing patience with her, and one day he went storming up to her bedroom and there was this notice on the door: be patient, God hasn't finished with me yet. And surely that's it all, isn't it? We should have that on our foreheads. Be patient. God hasn't finished with me yet, and he hasn't finished with you yet. This interconnection, this tapestry that he is weaving together with his life and our life, it's not finished yet, folks. It might not make sense to you at the minute. It helps if you look at the right side of the tapestry as well. From God's perspective, we see things a whole lot clearer. Life, from God's perspective, always makes better sense than if we look at it from our perspective. So we understand this weaving process. And the weaving process involves horizontal and the vertical. That's how weaving works. We have threads coming down and we have threads going this way and that way. And that's how we get cloth. That's how we get that tapestry. And that's what I want us to see in Psalm 23. We have these references to God, these threads, if you like, the flow of life coming from God. As I say, at least two references in every single verse. The Lord is my shepherd. shepherd, he makes me. His righteousness, his goodness, his house, his rod, his staff, and then me, my, I. And it's all connected and fits together. And that's how God works in our lives. And over these last few months, we have to say that there's an awful lot of things that have been disconnected, unconnected, and broken, as it were. The whole system, the rhythm of our lives, and in every area of society, it seems, there's been some kind of breakdown, a disconnection, a loosening of relationships, of ties, of routine, and all the rest of it. And they just seem to be in that place of disorientation and all of the rest of it. And that's why I believe that we need to come to Psalm 23, because it's a great place of connection where we begin to understand afresh that we are connected to God and we need to be connected to the living God. So as we take time to study and meditate on Psalm 23 over the next few weeks, may God, by His Holy Spirit, reconnect those frayed, loose threads in our lives. Do you feel a bit frayed? Do you feel as if, you know, those threads in your life are a wee bit loose, a wee bit disconnected? Well, may God take those frayed, loose threads and really begin to weave them back in together again with Him and with each other. That's what God wants to do, I believe. And may God also help us to see that the only way that these bare threads, these bare single threads of our lives will amount to anything is if they are woven together with His will, His word, and His ways. What else is there than to have a life connected to God? So this morning, the connected life is a contented life. A contented life. How content are you this morning? Let's have a wee vote. Discontents. The contents. Well, three or four contents, the rest of you can't be bothered. Okay. Content, what does this mean? A connected life is a contented life. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I've heard so many adults speaking about their confusion as they read or heard these words as children. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I don't want to perpetuate that confusion this morning. I think it was the I shall not want part that they had trouble with. And I think, well, why wouldn't David want the Lord to be his shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why do they not want the Lord? Why do they not want God to be their shepherd? Well, of course, the meaning of the words is, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want or live in a constant state of want or lack or dissatisfaction. The sad reality is this. There's many adults who know that the Lord is the only true shepherd, that Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And they've made up their minds that they don't want him. Not really. They don't really want him to be the shepherd. They want him to be there to rescue them if they get into a scrape, but they don't really want him to be around at any other time. They want to wander off and go here and there and feed on whatever they want to feed on and pasture wherever they want to pasture, and the other man's grass is always greener. And yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, but I really don't want him. That's a sad reality for many people. And their lives are marked with a constant search, a constant striving for something or someone to fill that void. This morning, it's a serious question. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is he really our shepherd, truly our shepherd? I love the old hymn that says, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss until unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy. No other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Christ Jesus found in thee. And verse 3 of that hymn says this, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. Now none but Christ, none but Christ can satisfy. Is that our story? Is that our song? You have made us for yourself, O Lord. And our hearts are restless until it rests in you. Augustine's famous quote, which he wrote about 1,600 years ago, and it's still true today as it was then. Now, we might not think that contentment is such a great deal. It's not a big deal, is it, to be content or discontent? It's just like, well, that's life. Well, no, it's much, much more than just a superficial thing. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, Paul says to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's huge. It's a massive thing to be content, to be godly with a contentment in your life. Our contentment, or lack of it, tells us everything we need to know about the condition of our hearts. Absolutely everything. For me, don't know about you, but for me, discontentment is an early warning sign that there's something not right. Something not right with me, with my heart, and my relationship with God. If I feel a discontentment, if I feel a striving for something, if I feel like, you know, I need something, I need this, and I'm not getting it, it's just like that discontentment and that striving, that restlessness that comes, it's an early warning system. And it's saying, listen, Graham, you better just come aside. You better come before God. You better stop whatever you're doing. You better come and open your Bible. You better come and open your heart. Because that restlessness, if it's not satisfied in God, will lead somewhere that you don't want to go. So it's an early warning system for us. It tells us everything that we need to know about our relationship with God. Apparently, and I read this in a book, so it must be true, sheep will only lie down if they're content. Now, I don't know if that's true, so I'll ask a shepherdess in the house. Is that true? Sheep will only lie down if they are content. I get a thumbs up. We have a shepherd in the house, shepherdess, and she says that is exactly right. Sheep will only lie down if they are content. If a sheep is well fed, cared for, healthy, free from fear, then it will lie down. It will only settle if it's satisfied. Folks, we have to ask ourselves, are we settled in God, in Christ, in his will, in his word, in his ways? Settled, satisfied, resting in that place where none but Christ can satisfy. The only way that we will settle and will be satisfied is when we come to Jesus. Truly come to Jesus and keep on coming to Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but I think I must have put on about a stone and a half since March. It's awful. Anybody else? As I'm looking around, you don't have to tell me. And, you know, it's, oh, there we were. Locked in, locked up, and all the rest of it. And all we had to do was eat, apparently. And, of course, people were force-feeding us food and everything. We didn't want to, but we just felt we couldn't refuse it because they were being so nice. Yes. And we were comfort eating, not because we were hungry. This is because something to do, something that would give us pleasure. And food gives us pleasure, and that's fantastic. That's great. That's how God intended it to be. But he never intended food to be a substitute for him, or anything else to be a substitute for him, including relationships. And we think about the woman at the well, John's gospel, and she's often spoken of, isn't she? And she, there she was, she'd gone out to get water at midday and high noon and all the rest of it. And this encounter with Jesus. And we see it in John's Gospel chapter 4 from verse 13. And in this conversation with this woman, Jesus answers her and says, everyone who drinks this water that he's talking about, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Wow! That's something, to have your spiritual thirst quenched once and for all. Amazing. And she had this encounter with Jesus, and she ran back into the village, and she said to everybody, come see a man. And you can just imagine the response from the people in the village saying, what? Another one? She'd already had 5 husbands, and the man she was living with was not her husband. So there she was. Come see a man. Yeah, we've heard that one before. You see, there was a deep, deep discontent in her life. A craving for love, for satisfaction, for acceptance. To be in a relationship, to be entwined with someone that she believed would satisfy the deepest longings of her heart, and it never ever happened until she met Jesus. And when she met Jesus, her deepest thirst was satisfied. Our deepest need, folks, is not physical or emotional or material, it's spiritual. All the time, it's spiritual. So when you head off to the biscuit box, you think, well, what's that got to do with how spiritual or unspiritual I am? Think about it. Food can become a huge pseudo-savior. Our shepherd is the one who is to comfort us. He is our comforter. And we make light of the food in the biscuit box, but in a sense, it's like, there is some truth in this. That we go for the quick fix, and you know, that comfort for that moment in time. And there we have it. A substitute savior. Imagine that. I mean, a chocolate biscuit being your substitute savior. Oh, the depths that we have fallen to. Our lives will show who our shepherd really is. Psalm 116, verse 7 says this: "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." Isn't that a wonderful verse? Psalm 116 and verse 7. Who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd in practical terms, in real terms, in how that works in your life, in my life, in our lives? Who is your shepherd? For David, the Lord is his shepherd. If you see in your Bible, if you notice, it's capital letters. Lord. It's not a title. This is the Lord's name. This is Yahweh. This is the God who appeared to Moses at the burning bush. And Moses said, "Well, who shall I say is sending me to be the deliverer?" And God says, tell them I am the one. I am God. I am, I will be, I always will be, I always have been, and I always am. I am the God of the present, all-powerful, the living God, Yahweh. That is the God that is David's shepherd. The all-powerful one. The self-existing one. Who doesn't look to anyone or anything outside of himself. But everything flows from him. Everything that has life and existence flows from him. That's our shepherd. That's David's shepherd. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were a sheep and you didn't have a shepherd? See, only shepherds really know how absolutely catastrophic that would be. We think, oh, well, sheep don't have a shepherd. Oh, well, they'll get by. They won't. Sheep are one of the most dependent creatures on the face of the planet. And I risk being hit over the head with a shepherd's crook. But they are so stupid. So daft. So idiotic. They need to be looked after. They need to be cared for. They need protection, guidance. They cannot live without a shepherd. And when Jesus saw the crowds, it says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Catastrophic. Now for us, no, sheep, they won't get by. They won't get through. They are harassed and they are helpless without a shepherd. That word harassed really got me. And I thought about it and I dug into it a wee bit. They were harassed and helpless. That word harassed is a Greek word. I don't throw up many Greek words, but I thought I'd look into this one. Skullo. It means to tear or to trouble or to bring to distress or to loosen out, to tease out, if you like. And you can imagine cloth as we're thinking about being woven together. And we can imagine a life that is being teased out, that the threads are being loosened and frayed. And we might say a life that is falling apart at the seams, being undone. That's what that word means. They were sheep. They're like sheep, harassed, falling apart, loosened, frayed, and lies falling apart at the seams. That's a life without Jesus as shepherd. You know people like that. We know people like that. And we know that there are times in our lives when we are like that. It's like things are falling apart, becoming frayed and loosed, and it doesn't quite seem to be connected. Well, we have a shepherd. And he is a shepherd who laid down his life for us. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. I know them. I know them. Isn't that amazing? Jesus knows you. He knows you. He knows your name. He is calling out. And if you are his sheep, you hear his voice. Your ears prick up. Do sheep ears prick up? But often think it's quite funny when you're out in the countryside sometime and you see the farmer and they go out and your shepherd and they're there with a plastic bag full of stuff and he just rattles it. And the sheep on the scattered over the field, they see the farmer and they hear the rustling of this and as he's putting the food out and whew, they just scarper right towards him to scoff that lovely stuff that's coming out of the rustling of the bag. They know what's coming. Oh, the rustling. How does that make you feel? Hungry? The rustling of the pages of the living Word of God. And the sheep come running. Sitting at home, making time to be with God. The rustling of the bag. The rustling of the pages. The salivation spiritually. Oh, I'm feeding on the Word. The living Word of God. The voice of God. Let me close this morning. It is a bit insulting to say that sheep are stupid. But I think sheep are God's favourite animal. In all of Scripture, they're the animal that's most mentioned in the Scriptures. By far. Sheep, lambs and rams. Over 500 times. I think sheep, God's got a soft spot for sheep. He loves sheep. And the Bible also says this, though. That all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And people are not up in arms and saying, that's not right. They know instinctively, we know that's right. Because sheep go astray. That's their nature. It's in them to go astray. And it's in us to go astray. It's in us to wander off. Perverse and foolish, oft I've strayed, yet in love he sought me. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Folks, as we come this morning, as we come to sing and worship once again, as we prepare our hearts to meet with the Lord around the table. Let's ask ourselves and affirm this, that the Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not be in a constant state of flux and want. My heart shall not be restless. I shall not look to other things that are so convenient, that are there, pseudo-saviors. Lord, help me. Help me to look to you, to run to you. When I hear the rustling of the pages, that I'll know that there's food and only you can satisfy. Let's pray for a moment, shall we? Lord, we thank you in these days of so much turmoil and uncertainty, that we can know certainty in you. In you. You are our shepherd. You've laid down your life for the sheep. Help us, God, to trust in you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.